which is a sign of the sorrow of the church during these last 2 weeks, in which we reflect on the passion of our Lord. During this time, the usual beauty of the church, the sacred images, is hidden. And we reflect on the passion of our Lord with great sorrow until we celebrate the joy of the resurrection with the Easter Midnight Mass, when his images will be uncovered again. We read in the Gospel how our Lord took up stones to stone him, and that was because they knew that he was claiming to be God when he said, before Abraham was, I am. You know, the name for God in the Old Testament was I Am Who Am, showing the eternity of God. God never had a beginning, never had an end. He alone is eternal. Only God can say, I am. Everything else came into being. And so when he said, he didn't say, before Abraham, I was, I existed before Abraham. But he said, in the present tense, before Abraham, I am. So they knew he was claiming to be God. They took up stones to throw at him, to kill him. And our Lord hid himself. So also reason which we covered the images today. Before the sermon today, I wanted actually to simply read the sermon of Pope Pius XII for this day in 1950, when we had a true pope. You'll see the contrast of what a true pope teaches when a true pope sees the sin that's in the world. You'll see a clear contrast between what the current false pope teaches, in which he promotes sin, excuses sin. This is from 1950, when we had a true pope who did everything to combat sin, to lead the faithful away from sin. And I took portions out so that it wasn't too long to read. This is about half of the sermon that I'll read, and I think it will be good for all of us. He says, on this particular Sunday, the church opens the sacred time of the Passion, and with the sorrowful note of its rites, causes the drama of the divine expiator of human faults, Jesus Christ our Lord, to live again before the eyes and in the souls of the faithful. This worldwide day of penance corresponds truly to the most urgent needs of the society in which we live. The eye, illumined by faith, could not fail to behold the wretched spectacles of a world in decay, because of the ruin wrought in it on the fundamental moral structures of life. While we are a stranger to every unjustified pessimism, which is in contrast with real Christian hope, and we are rather the son of our own time, not bound by unreasonable longings for the days which have passed, we nevertheless cannot fail to take note of a rising sea of private and public sins, which tends to submerge souls in the mud and overthrow wholesome social conventions. As every age bears an imprint characteristic of its works, so our own, in its culpability, is marked by a grouping of features of which past centuries perhaps never saw the equal. The first and most serious stigma of our age is its knowledge. which renders inexcusable its outrage against divine law. Consider the degree of enlightenment and intellectual life diffused as never before among various social classes, a marvel in which civilization takes pride. Considering the keen and jealous sense of its own personal dignity and its inner freedom of spirit of which today's conscience boasts, the possibility or presumption of ignorance concerning norms which govern relations between creatures and the Creator should no longer find a place. Nor, for that matter, the excuse founded upon this possibility, which might lessen the guilt. This state of affairs, resulting in an almost universal moral decadence, has contaminated even spheres once traditionally immune, such as rural areas and the realm of tender childhood. A series of shameless and criminal publications prepare the most disgraceful means of seduction and corruption for vice and crime. They conceal the ignominy and brutality of evil under the trappings of aesthetics, art, ephemeral and deceitful charm, of false courage. They yield without restraint to a morbid desire for violent sensations and novel, licentious experiences. The exaltation of immorality has reached the stage of parading in public and injecting itself into the rhythm of the economic and social life of the people, exploiting for profit the most tragic calamities and the most miserable weaknesses of humanity. There is even now and then an attempt to furnish a theoretical justification for the basest manifestations of this moral decadence by appealing to a humanism of dubious character, or to an indulgence which condones the fault in order to deceive and corrupt souls more easily. This false humanism and anti-Christian indulgence results in overthrowing the hierarchy of moral values and in lessening the sense of sin to the point of making it respectable, presenting it as the normal development of man's faculties and as the enrichment of his personality. Guilty of injuring society are those circles given to considering crime under the pretext of humanitarianism or civil tolerance, of natural human weakness. When those circles allow, or worse, put in motion everything scientifically to arouse passions and to loosen every check and restraint arising from an elementary respect for public morality or from public decency, when they depict in most seductive color the violation of the marriage bond, rebellion against public authority, suicide, or the taking of another's life. Consider the numberless sins, private and public, concealed and open. These sins against God and church, sins of men against themselves in soul and body, against their neighbors, particularly the more humble and defenseless creatures, sins finally against the family and human society. Some of these sins are so unheard of and cruel that new words are necessary to describe them. Weigh their gravity, of those committed through mere levity, and of those knowingly premeditated and coldly perpetrated, of those which ruin one life only, or which, on the other hand, are multiplied in chains of iniquity to the extent of becoming the wickedness of centuries, or crimes against entire nations. Compare in the penetrating light of faith this immense accumulation of baseness and vileness with the shining sanctity of God, with the nobility of the end for which man was created, with the Christian ideals for which the Redeemer suffered pain and death. And then say whether divine justice can any longer tolerate such a deformation of his image and his designs, such a great abuse of his gifts, such scorn of his will, and above all, such mockery of the innocent blood of his Son. As the vicar of that Jesus who shed his blood to the last drop to reconcile men with their heavenly Father, as the visible head of that church which is his mystical body for the salvation and sanctification of souls, we exhort you to thoughts and works of penance, so that the first step toward the effective moral rehabilitation of humanity may be taken by you and by all our sons and daughters scattered throughout the entire world. With all the ardor of our paternal heart, we beg of you sincere repentance for past sins, the full detestation of sin, and a firm purpose of amendment. We implore you to assure divine pardon for yourselves by means of the sacrament of confession and the legacy of love of the divine Redeemer. The singularly grave conditions of the present hour impel Christians, if ever in the past, today above all, to provide in themselves the fulfillment of what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ, not only through the desire of making ever better reparation for the evil which has been done, and giving a more certain sign and more sure proof of the sincerity of their return, but also by contributing to the salvation of all the redeemed. To this end, let all Christians, penitent and innocent, made brothers in the intention and work of a new solitary expiation, unite themselves to the Supreme Shepherd of souls and their only Savior, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He is there on our altars to renew at every hour the sacrifice of Golgotha. May the army of souls who are forming works of expiation in the Church of God be mobilized together with him, and in virtue of his grace on this holy day. Sufferings accepted with Christian and willing resignation, or freely and generously chosen, will restore a Christian countenance to decadent humanity, and will be a yet salutary counterbalance to the human crimes on the scales of divine justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.